I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go. Father
God, I am from the Lighthouse Chapel International. Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
The boys are good. The girls are beautiful. Forevermore.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? The child you have delivered will one day deliver you. Your baby boy would give sight to a blind man. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know?
Did you know the child that you hold in your arms will be the savior of the world?
The blind will see, the deaf will
is with us. They shall call him Emmanuel. He's the savior of the world. His name is Jesus, the word of God made into a human manual. Mary, I wonder if you knew that your baby would lead us. How does it feel when you're carrying God in your arms? What is it like when you're lifting him up as a child? Did you know that he's from higher? He's the Messiah? Did you conceive that you would be the one who's reconciled? He'll be the reason the deaf hear and the dumb speak. The blind see and the dead live and the lame leap. He's sovereign over everything, Lord of heaven and earth. He'll put the Sea of Galilee right underneath his feet. All power in his hands, heaven's precious lamb. Did you know that your little one is the great I am? Because of this newborn, you can be born new. You delivered him, now he will deliver you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby
Merry Christmas to you also. What a blessing to be able to gather from every place where we are and to assemble together once again, and this time to celebrate the birth of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This most important birth for all humanity, and it is worthy of the annual celebration that goes on throughout the world, throughout the entire world. Everybody is at home today. And even those who refuse to be at home have no one to deal with because the rest of us are at home, you know. So we might as well just go home and celebrate the birth of a very important person who is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Now, we like in our church, we go to church on Christmas Day. I know many people don't go to church on Christmas Day in America, but in our church, we believe in going to church on Christmas Day to celebrate the birth because it's important. It's the foundation for everything that we do as Christians, that God came in the form of a man that was born of a virgin right here on earth and lived and died, rose again, and that is Jesus Christ. And we believe that, and that's what we celebrate at Christmas time. Hallelujah. Today, I want to go ahead and share with you a very simple passage which was inspired by the prophet as he preached this morning, you know. Now, one of the points he shared this morning had to do with being spiritual at Christmas time, being spiritual. He talked about being someone who notices things, okay, and how to be a person who notices things. And one of them is to be a spiritual person. Hallelujah. Now, let's read the Bible. Let's read a quick verse from Luke chapter 2 and from Luke chapter 2. And let's read from verse, let me see. Okay. Okay, so Luke chapter 2 and verse 34. Well, no, let's go back a bit. Let's go back to verse 25. Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Verse 27 says, and he came by the Spirit and into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Verse 33 says, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Amen. Right. Now, you notice that this man sounds or is introduced as a very spiritual person. You know, it says here in verse 25 that the Holy Ghost was upon him, you see. And then in verse 26, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death, etc. Verse 27, and then he came by the Spirit. That means he was led by the Spirit, directed by the Spirit to come to the temple at the time that he came. So this is the man who is a very spiritual person and a man who seems to have a spiritual understanding and has a spiritual outlook on things. Now, when he got to the temple, notice how the Bible says the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. You see, so the parents went into the temple with Jesus Christ just to do something very physical and something very ordinary. I mean, to them, they were just going for a baby dedication. And then suddenly they meet this old man in the church who takes their son up in his arms and blesses the Lord and then starts saying all these amazing things, you see, about the son. I mean, imagine it. You take your child to church to have a regular baby dedication. Then an old man who is not the pastor of the church suddenly appears and he lifts up your son in his arms and he starts to say the things this man was saying from verse 29. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thine word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people. I mean, verse 33, it's just so appropriate that Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Because you've taken your child to church, you are just having a normal baby dedication, and a total stranger just comes and he starts to say all these amazing things. Do you see? And then he goes on to say that this child is set for the fall and rising of again of many in Israel and for a sign which shall be spoken against. It's a wonderful thing. So you notice that many things that are happening just ordinarily actually do have a spiritual parallel or a spiritual meaning, which only people who are spiritual can actually tap into. Hallelujah. And it's important that people who are spiritual, or all of us this Christmas, be reminded that many of the seemingly ordinary occurrences and happenings in our lives actually have a spiritual dimension to it. Amen. And when we are spiritual, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, we can read that. Romans chapter 8, the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, the Bible says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Do you understand? Now, let's take it from the bottom. I'm sure we all love life and peace. Do you understand? We all want to have life and peace. Now, for you to enjoy and have and experience life and peace, the Bible says the formula or the requirement is to be spiritually minded. Do you understand? I think you took my scripture away too quickly, but so bring it back. It's Christmas Day. Be generous. All right. Okay. So here you go. Look at it again. It says to be carnally minded is death. Do you see? To Be carnally minded. That means, carnally means according to the flesh, according to the natural, ordinary order. Do you see? Anybody who only thinks in the flesh, the Bible says it leads to death. Do you see? And of course, all the things on the way to death. You see, it leads to discouragement. It leads to despondency. It leads to despair. It leads to poverty. It leads to giving up. All the negative things that all the way are found all the way on the journey towards death are found or are caused by someone who is just carnally minded. But when you are spiritually minded, then you have a different way of looking at things. And when you start to look at those things from a spiritual perspective, even ordinary things and sometimes even very negative experiences, very painful experiences, you begin to see them as a source of life and blessing. And the Bible says that to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You will have peace in spite of whatever may be going on in your life. Hallelujah. Now, look at this Mary, for example. Mary's story in Luke chapter 2, the two scripture readings that were read. So let's look at them again. Luke chapter 2 and verse, I think from verse 1. Now, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, in verse 1, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Verse 6 says, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible is explaining to us that Mary and Joseph happened to be in Bethlehem. It sounds like it was not the plan. It says what had happened was that a decree had gone forth from Caesar that the whole world should be taxed. Do you see? And it says, all went to be taxed. Everyone should go to his own city, you know, to be taxed. And then Joseph also went up to his city. He went to his hometown with his wife, who was heavy with her pregnancy. And the Bible says in verse 6, and so it was, or it's as though, you know, it just happened, you know, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. So she gave birth to her firstborn son. And the whole thing looks like it is circumstantial and it just happened. Do you understand? Mary happened to be with child. The man said everyone should go to their country or city to be taxed, you know. And it turned out that while Mary was there waiting for the census and to pay her taxes or whatever, then she went into labor and just happened to be born, to give birth, you know. So Jesus just happened to be born there because these circumstances were at play. Do you see? But no, when you read the other scripture from Micah chapter 2, so go back to Micah. Micah is the other passage we read, the first scripture reading from today, Micah chapter 5. And from verse 2. Now, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Do you see? He says, you Bethlehem, he says, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee he shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. You see, so it says somebody was going to be born in Bethlehem, you know, who is going to be the ruler of Israel, you see, whose goings forth, I mean, he is now going to be born, but he has existed from old, in fact, from everlasting. Do you see? So this is the prophecy that has gone on ahead of Christ, which is even unknown probably to Mary and unknown even to Joseph. Do you see? And when you read on, verse 4 says, he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. He will be great unto the ends of the earth. Do you see? This is the prophecy. And then in verse 5, it says, and this man shall be the peace. And when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we rise against him, or then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. Hallelujah. So you can see that even though Mary and Joseph are thinking that, you know, it's just circumstantial. Joseph happens to be from that Bethlehem place, and then the king or the ruler decided, or just happened to have decided, that people should be taxed at that time, and then Joseph went to the place. You know, if you just go back to Luke again, and you see, read the Luke scripture, and you see that everything looks so circumstantial, and it looks like things are just happening, and they are just following and flowing along, you see, without realizing that there is actually a spiritual dimension to the whole thing. That this thing that is happening actually has a spiritual orchestration that is causing it to play out that way. Do you see? Now, only spiritually minded people can tap into this dimension of it. Do you see? If you're not spiritually minded, all you see is they have asked people to go to their hometown, you know, to be taxed. And all you see is what a bother it is for you to travel at this time when you are so heavily pregnant. You never see the side that God is trying to organize you into a place where your baby, your particular baby, must be born in that place to fulfill a spiritual prophecy that has gone on way ahead of time, even before you met Joseph. Spiritual people, you know, can afford that thinking. And when you can think that way, you are able to accommodate so many things, including things that are not even very pleasant. Do you understand? That's why it says to be spiritually minded, you can have life and you can have peace. You can have life and you can have peace if you're a spiritually minded person. If you learn how to be spiritual, your spirituality will affect your interpretation of the things that are happening. You see, we're back in Luke, right? So look at Luke chapter 2 again, right there. Just look at Luke chapter 2 again. and notice how the prophecy is being fulfilled. It says in verse 1, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the wealth should be taxed. You see, now Caesar is talking at this time because prophecy is being fulfilled. You see, and then the next verse says, this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth, do you see, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because, not because of the prophecy, you know, he didn't know about the prophecy. He went there just because that was his hometown. When you understand it this way, you begin to see that perhaps, do you see, God's choice of Mary was also related to who Mary was espoused to. Do you see that it was not a coincidence that God probably chose Mary because Mary was espoused to Joseph, whose hometown was in Bethlehem.
Wow.
So then comes this command. He says he went there to be taxed, verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being with great child. Or being great with child, that's right. You see, being great with child, that means she was heavily pregnant. And so even for the command to go to your hometown to come at that time, I tell you, spiritual people start to look at things and start to respect even the timing of things, the who, the what, and the where of things. See, this morning, Prophet was talking about how he found himself in London because the universities in Ghana at the time were closed. They were just closed. I think there was some type of rioting or something, and the government just shut down the university. And they shut it down indefinitely, you know. So he traveled to London. Now, he was telling the story of how that period was a very important spiritual period for him. That period is when he got his training for ministry. Because while he was in London, he joined this Victory Bible Church, you know, and it is this Victory Bible Church that taught him, that trained him. He had the opportunity to do so many things in the church, not knowing that God had sent him there to prepare him for all of this. Do you see? So to one person, it is like, you know, they've shut down the universities and we're just at home wasting the time and we're not doing anything. But to a spiritual person, it is now a spiritual preparation period. Now, when you look back, you realize that, oh, it must have been God who sent you there. And God could have created that opportunity for that to happen. Do you see? And that made a difference to his life and ministry as we see it today. Hallelujah. Joseph was in a similar type of situation. The circumstances forced him to go to a certain place. But in being there, he was actually fulfilling God's supernatural plan for Jesus Christ to be born in Bethlehem. So it says in verse 6:5 that he went to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And verse 6 says, and so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished. Can you imagine? Sometimes they probably went out because maybe they were thinking they would go and return back to their regular place so that they can see their primary care doctor. I can imagine how Mary said, I'm used to Dr. So-and-so. I don't want to give birth to my firstborn child in some strange city, with some strange doctor, with some great strange hospital. I can imagine how they may even be blowing a little beast over it, you know, in the house. Mary said, I'm not giving birth in Bethlehem. Joseph says, well, okay, we'll do it quickly and we'll return and all that. But they all don't know that they are actually fulfilling the prophecy. So while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. and she brought forth her firstborn son in a strange place. But it was in fulfillment of a spiritual, a prophecy that God had in place. You see? So think about your life. Think about where you are. Do you see? Think about where you are even born. Think about to whom you are born. Think about your circumstances right now. What you're doing, where you are in life. And if you're spiritual, no matter what condition your life is in, you will begin to see the hand of God at work. You begin to see that you're actually fulfilling a prophecy. You begin to see a spiritual dimension to your existence. And when you start to see the spiritual side of things, it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference. That's how come you can enjoy life and peace. Let me give you one more quick example from Genesis chapter 50. And then we will bring our Christmas message to a close. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 50. In Genesis chapter 50, we read the story of Joseph, right? Genesis chapter 50. Now, the Bible says that Joseph, you know the story of Joseph and how his brothers sold him into slavery and all that, right? Now let's read from verse 15. It says, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him, right? Now the brothers were afraid. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say to Joseph, forgive. You know, they sent messengers to Joseph telling him that, look, before our father died, we know we've done you a lot of wrong, but before our father died, he said we should tell you, forgive.
Forgive. Forgive.
Joseph's father used to attend one of our branches, you know, so he was familiar.
He was in LA.
You see, so they said to him that your father said, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did evil unto thee, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. I tell you, the guys were so afraid. So they invoked the powers of the father. Then they invoked their status as servants of the God of their father. Do you see?
Mercy.
Because they thought that they were the one who will speak for them, you know, is no longer there. You know, there are certain people, sometimes when they die, it really changes things, you know. And so their father had died, and the guys knew that, look, that here comes major trouble. Our brother whom we sold into slavery is now the king in the city where we live, or the country where we live. This is now a serious problem for us. The guy is going to really do something bad to us. It says, and his brethren also went, verse 18, and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. Verse 19 says, Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Do you see? That's the spiritual person is now beginning to speak. Verse 20 says, he said, as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day, which is to save much people alive. Verse 21, therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Right. See, remember, the scripture says to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded, it always leads to life and peace, no matter what the circumstances are and no matter what has happened. I mean, you and I can relate with this, that this is a perfect scenario for revenge. Even the guys saw it and they were afraid. Apart from sending the messengers to Joseph to remind them that their father said, forgive. Do you see? Then they came, they sent the messenger and they invoked the powers of the father, then their identity as servants of the God of their father. That, look, we are servants of God. Then on top of that, they came themselves and they came to beg that we are begging you. We will serve you. We are your servants. Mm-hmm. The guys were terrified. And Joseph, of course, had the greatest opportunity for revenge. Yes, revenge against the people who had come against him, who took him when he went there to do them good. His father has sent them to bring them food and to check on them and to ensure their well-being. And they took him and put him in a pit to die. Then after they brought him out of the pit and sold him into slavery, now things had worked out. And he was in a place of power. And they had come cowering unto him, begging even to be servants. I tell you, if you follow your natural mind, remember, carnally minded is death. I tell you, if you follow your carnal instincts, your first step is to put all of them in prison. Yeah, you just arrest the whole family and put maximum security prison.
My God.
While you think about what to do with them. In the meantime, with hard labor. That's what we do. Do you see? It's such a great opportunity for revenge. Great opportunity for doing something very painful to your brothers. To show them that what they did was very painful for you also. But not Joseph. Joseph approached it with a spiritual mind. He was able to see the hand of God. And as he started to consider the spiritual dimension to all of this, he began to see that it wasn't them, but it was the Lord. He said that, as for you, you thought evil against me, verse 20, but God meant it unto good. The same thing that you did against me, which you meant for evil, God meant that evil for good. He said, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Why? To bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. So what you did it because God wanted to save more people. He wanted to save a lot of people. He wanted to preserve a lot of people. That's why he allowed you to do what you're doing. You see, now once Joseph started to think this way, it became so easy to forgive his brothers. Do you see? Sometimes forgiveness is so difficult because we refuse to allow ourselves to enter into the spiritual mind. Many of us have been offended and hurt by people, you know, and we have the choice to be carnally minded about it or to be spiritually minded about it. Now, when you're carnally minded about it, you only think bitterness, you think anger, you think frustration, you think robbery, you feel wronged, you feel cheated. All those negative sentiments come with the carnal mindedness. But when you are spiritually minded, you see other things. You see how strong you have become. You see the advantages that have come out of this. You see the experience that you have. You see the knowledge you have acquired because of what happened. You even see where you are in life the new place, your new location. Joseph could see it. Joseph felt that, look, if his brothers had not sold him, he would still be somewhere in Israel. He didn't even know what would happen to them, because it was because of him that the whole family had now moved into Egypt. So he said, God brought me here to preserve life. And forgiving his brothers became so easy. So a person who should have put them in prison, who should have maltreated them, verse 21 says, he said, now I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and he spake kindly unto them. So can you see the spiritual mind is already leading to life and leading to peace? People are being nourished, you know, people are being comforted. And he's speaking kindly. He's speaking kindly. He's speaking kindly. It means a lot of hostile talk and angry talk. Sometimes between spouses, sometimes between family members. It is because of the existence of the carnal mind. It is because of the oppression of the carnal thinking. But the spiritual mind will take things down another path. And when you start to go down that road, you begin to see nourishment. You begin to see comfort. You begin to see kind speaking, kind words. Suddenly, it becomes so much easier to forgive. Have you ever thought about it that God also wants to try and test you? You've been a Christian for some time. God wants to try. God wants to test you. God wants to, because every test leads to a promotion. When you pass a test, it allows you to enter a new place where you didn't belong. Any test at all, any test, even a driver's test.
Forgive.
A driver's test. It allows you to have a license and gives you some liberty to drive, something you couldn't do before. Before, if you're doing it, you'd be looking everywhere for the police. But now you can enjoy the freedom of putting a car on the road without checking out every car that is coming behind you. Do you understand? Every test is an opportunity for promotion. It's
That's
an opportunity
right.
for stepping higher. It's an opportunity for entering a new era and a new place in life. Every test is like that. You don't just go into places. You need a test. You need a test. In school, to enter the next class, you need a test. To enter the next level, you need a test. A test is always a message that promotion is imminent. A test is always a message that something greater is ahead of you. God is about to move you into the next place. But you see, you can't easily think that way, you see, if you are carnally minded. If you're carnally minded, all you see is anger. All you see is emotions. All you see is wickedness. All that fills your mind are wicked thoughts, thoughts of revenge, you know, thoughts of vengeance, thoughts of getting even with people. Those are the things that fill your mind. And all your decisions just start taking you down south. And the reality is that there are many places on the way to death. Do you see? So eventually what Satan would like to do is to see you die from your carnal thinking. But when you're spiritually minded like Joseph, impossibilities become possible. I mean, his brothers must have been very surprised when Joseph said, God brought me here to save life. So then it was not even you, but it was God who brought me here. Joseph told them, said that it was not you that brought me here. It was actually God. God is the one who brought me here. And God brought me here to save much people alive. I can imagine how the brothers would look at each other and say, the guy says it was not us. You know, they must have thought about the money they got from selling him and how they shared it. And he said, it was not us. It was not us. Joseph said, it was not us. Wow. What relief. What relief. Imagine being in some trouble. Let's say you're stopped for overspeeding. And then the police officer walks up to your window. You know you are guilty. And he looks at you and says, well, it was not you. I'm sorry. It was not you. Would you insist, officer, you are wrong. It was me. Is that what you...
Not that messy.
Yeah. You will rejoice in it and say, my God. Yes, it was not me. It was not me. Many years ago, I got a speeding ticket, and I tell you, I've been insisting even up to this day that it was somebody else. Because I didn't think I was speeding like that. The officer said I was. He gave me the ticket anyway. But I have always insisted that it was somebody else. It was some other vehicle, not me.
Forgive.
Not me, not me.
Hallelujah. So,
amen.
Christmas, God is speaking to us to become spiritual people. Amen. God wants us to be spiritual. Let's be spiritually minded. When we are spiritually minded, we will see the spiritual dimension of things, and it's going to affect us. It will change our relationships. It will change how we look at things. It will change how we handle people. So Joseph was speaking kindly to his enemies because he had an understanding that they didn't have. Joseph was nourishing the last set of people he should have been nourishing. And that is because he had an understanding. He was comforting the worst group of people because he had a certain understanding. So instead of revenge, there's now nourishment, there's comfort, and there's kind speaking. May God bless you with the spirituality of Joseph and the spirituality of Mary and the spirituality of Simeon.
Do you see?
Simeon, spiritual. He came and Mary thought she was having a baby dedication and Simeon was seeing something else. And may God bless us to be like that in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word today. And we pray in Jesus' name that you will stir us up to be spiritual. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as we close the service, I want to give you an opportunity if maybe you're invited to join us this morning or you're watching us on Facebook, but you know in your heart that you're not born again, you're not saved, you don't have a relationship with this Jesus we are celebrating this morning. This is an opportunity to have your sins forgiven and to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So I want to lead us all in a prayer, and I want everybody to join in as we say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I know I'm a sinner.
I know I'm a sinner.
You died for my sins. Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
please come into my heart.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood
wash me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
Child of God.
And make me a child of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
For hearing
my prayer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless you. If you really mean the prayer you just said, I want to invite you to send us a text message at this number coming up on your screen right now. Just send us a text message or call that number. We have a special book we'd like to give to you as a free Christmas gift. And it's a book that will bless your life and help you greatly. So please give us a chance to bless you. Send us a text message and someone will reach out to you with the gift. Amen. God bless you.
The number is 818-659-8688.